Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth. It is an exciting Killing Time, I think, because we're all together.
We are.
We haven't done a Killing Time together in a while, and it feels refreshing.
It feels good. Mm-hmm. We've been spending a lot of time together recently, and I've really been liking it for my soul.
Aww.
Feels really good.
That's lovely.
And Billy is holding on to his mic.
I'm holding on to my mic because we had a discussion that we were going to do handheld mics.
I know, but it's
mics.
Weird because there's a stand attached
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, I'm doing it like I'm Bono.
I don't know that that's a good thing.
Yeah, Alexis is going to take a picture or a video and we'll post it because it is a little bit uncomfortable.
It looks like an octopus is fucking attacking you.
Or this like a spider or something. Yeah.
This is not a rebel song.
All right. Well, we'll post this on our social media so you have an idea of what we're talking about because this is an audio podcast.
That's right.
How are we doing? How are we feeling?
You know, I'm in the midst of a move, so my spirits are low because there's nothing worse than feeling like you don't know where your socks are. You don't know where to find a pair of underwear. You don't know where to find your toothbrush. Like, I'm in chaos right now.
Yeah, you are.
So I'm a little disturbed in that way. But other than that, I'm feeling grateful.
I am in the throes of trying to find a fucking venue for my wedding.
Oh my gosh, I know.
And I just didn't realize that everything in this world is so expensive. It's pretty crazy. So I'm looking
They want you to spend $100,000 for anything in the planet.
Anything.
100 birth.
Yes.
Wedding venue. Move. Like they want it, the total is $100,000.
Yeah, that's just the new baseline for anything in life.
Yeah,
but that's meant to have any joy.
I did want to throw this out into the universe because I'm sure we've had a lot of firsties that have gone to amazing weddings or have had amazing weddings. I want a boutique sort of a hotel vibe. So please let me know if you've been to like a great wedding that might be beachfront or maybe like in a beautiful European destination.
Yes, and we want to paint an even better picture. What Jack loves, and we experienced this at our one of our mutual best friends' weddings, she likes the idea of like a weekend together with everyone.
Yes.
A place that's sort of got some communal, like some community places to meet for breakfast and stuff and things like that and places to gather where everyone's staying at the same place and there can be pockets of people late at night or early morning, people getting together. But like a weekend of fun and somewhere where 50 people could all sort of be together and bop in and out of group settings.
Yes.
Which is a hard thing to articulate, but that's sort of it, right?
It is, yeah. Basically, I just care about having everybody together in one place. Like, that's my main thing I'm looking for. But this isn't a podcast about my wedding planning. But I did... You never know who's listening, you know?
Someone might own a hotel who's listening.
That's true.
All right.
Well, let me know.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Let's give a little shout out to our Patreon.
Yeah.
We love you, Patries. Patreonies.
If you haven't joined our Patreon, so much fun stuff is happening over there.
There is some good content there. I'm very proud of it.
It's like our it's like us unfiltered in our very core state.
It's more soulful. I mean, we can be a lot more authentic. We're not sort of like, I don't know, under a microscope in the same way.
Absolutely. Okay, well, I think that's all the housekeeping that we have going on.
Yes.
Billy, what day is it today?
You know what? I was sad that you actually, I love the Patreon people, but I had a great segue from you looking for a hotel to what the day is, because the dark day is June 16th, 1960. That was when Psycho was released.
And of course... The Bates Motel, yes.
That's right. And the Bates Motel is probably less than a mile away from where we're sitting right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because it's at Universal Studios.
It's at Universal Studios, and it's also there with the house up on the hill.
Have you guys done that tour?
No.
You haven't?
Oh, yeah, I have. Yeah.
Oh, I love
did,
it.
I did the... I went to a Bates Motel thing at Universal Horror Nights.
I'm sure it's probably the same hotel.
I did their haunted thing.
I love the tour that they do. They do the tour through like everything through the Jaws set, the yes. Backdraft, and
oh, I'm sure it's the same thing.
And then you go past the Bates Motel, and then they have somebody like acting as Norman Bates, and then he comes out with a knife.
With a knife.
Oh
yeah.
No, this is for sure the same thing. Yeah. Yeah.
You just saw it at Horror Nights.
Yeah. Well, because they did it for Halloween. I thought it was only there for scary times.
Oh no, it's their like their tour that happens like 500 times a day.
Yeah. And then you literally you turn the corner, and then you're in the Day the Earth Stood Still. Set where there's literally a crashed 747, which I always thought was a very odd choice.
It is
to
like,
have it.
People don't like to joke about plane crashes. Yeah. Like
and,
it's too real.
And there it is. It's just there.
People
it's
don't like
so
that.
So weird.
I surely don't.
Like, give me like anyone doing a horror house if they did it like a haunted house for Horror Nights or something. Mm-hmm. A plane crash, no one would ever be more scared.
Mm-hmm. No,
like that's the scariest thing that could ever. Exist.
Final Destination, the first one, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but it's like one of the scariest movies in the world for me because of the plane crash that started it all. Like that freaks me out. I can't watch a plane crash ever.
It's the mundane. It's the mundane that's really scary where it's like, because that is sort of relatable for everyone. Where it's like, going to visit Nana. could kill me.
Yeah. You just never know when that metal tube falls out of the air.
Welcome to Universal Studios. Exactly. So as you know, Psycho, it's about a secretary who leaves Phoenix, Arizona, by the way. Shout out to Jared. And
or yourself.
Or myself, who has a house in Phoenix. And she has 40 grand. She absconds with 40 grand.
Absconds.
Yes. She goes to the Bates Motel, which is run by a shy, awkward man named Norman Bates and his domineering elderly mom. So when she's taking a shower, she is stabbed fatally by the mom. But it turns out, spoiler alert, and this was one of like the big, big spoilers ever. It turns out that it was Norman Bates dressed as his mom.
Whack.
Yeah.
Obviously, you guys have probably noticed I've said whack today more than usual. This is a new thing I'm trying. I don't know why. But like whack, right? Like it seems to work.
I like
think
whack.
It's your new neighborhood,
I'm
maybe.
Into it.
I use whack.
I'm in the same neighborhood, Billy. I moved like 200 feet from my old place.
I think I use whack.
Whack is
it's not my number one word, but it's becoming probably the top 10.
Becoming my number one.
I like
whack is great.
It's good for you.
Yeah.
I feel it.
Thank you.
So Psycho was whack. It's considered one of the greatest films of all time. It set it was considered incredibly violent, especially that shower scene. And it was also loosely based on the real life killings of Ed Gein. So for True Crime Rewind, we were going to look at some horror movies that were inspired by real life killings.
And I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Yeah. A new wrinkle in my brain.
Well, I know he was doing weird, like Frankenstein-y type things, right? But I didn't equate that with sort of the shower scene. You know, it is sort of same thing we dealt with Scream.
Yeah.
And we dealt with sort of Danny Rawling, right? Mm-hmm. But they said that one was based on the other, but there weren't these very obvious connections. Yeah. So I think we're dealing with some of that as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're going to get into all of those when we come back for True Crime Rewind.
Yes.
But before then, we have got some bitching to do.
We could also do True Crime in real time.
Forgot about that.
That's okay.
You know what? It's weird because we're not like in our normal like settings that we're recording that I actually don't remember how Killing Time works.
All right. So this is coming from newsobserver.com. And there was a guy who he was working at a nuclear power plant and in North Carolina. He won a $10 million lottery prize. In 2017, he was just sentenced to life in prison because last year or the year before, he actually killed his 23-year-old girlfriend.
Oh.
So he had $10 million in lottery winnings, and he's going to be in jail for the rest of his life.
What a waste.
And he killed his girlfriend before the winnings?
No, after the winnings.
Why?
That's why.
Just because he's a dick?
Because
he's a psycho?
Yeah, yeah. So
sad.
That's horrible.
Yeah, he was just a dude that worked at a power plant like Homer Simpson.
Damn.
I still think we should do True Crime Rewind with Ed Gein.
What?
We are still doing that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is True Crime in real time.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're getting all thrown off, too.
Yeah. Well, because I'm like, usually we do one or the other.
No, we don't.
No, we always do both.
Not always. We don't always have a true crime in real time.
We do now.
We do for the last like six times.
Okay.
God, I love having Jack here.
Sorry, guys.
It's confusing.
All right. Well, when we come back, we've got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
All right, welcome to On the Stand. This is the next portion of our podcast, Alexis. I'll let you know what we do for this part of the podcast.
Thank you. Please talk to me like I'm five, because I'm obviously on the struggle bus today.
For On the Stand, we're bringing something, person, place, thing, or idea to the stand. We're either prosecuting it or defending it, having a healthy discussion, and then we vote if it's guilty or not guilty at the end. I'm going to go first for On the Stand.
Love that.
Now, I just found this from our Facebook group as I was scrolling around, from Rachel Elizabeth, and it had to do with one of her recent episodes. I think it might have been a Patreon episode, but somehow we were talking about going to the bathroom in a public restroom.
Sure.
I think that the On the Stand might have been going in the stall right next to somebody else in a public restroom. I think it maybe was
somebody talking in the stall on the phone or something like
that's
that.
That's something I put on the stand a long time ago. Yeah.
Anyways, so Rachel Elizabeth is putting on the stand, women who squat to pee and then don't clean off the seat after.
Ew.
Yep.
Now,
and she, by the way, she literally just posted this 44 minutes ago.
We have lots of comments on it. And honestly, I'm like, I resonate with that so much because that is something that disgusts me. Because it happens so often that you're just trying to, you know, do your business. And I'm not personally going to sit on top of this, but it is so nasty.
Yeah.
And then I'm cleaning it up because I feel bad.
Yeah.
Like,
well, because I don't want the next person to think it was me
exactly.
who left your piss on the seat.
Yes.
I hovered an appropriate way and I peed where I was meant to pee. And then you left your residue, and now I'm gonna feel judged.
Exactly.
Because someone could like call me out on I know Gawker's not a thing, but like I don't want to be the subject of like disparagement because you urinated the person before me on the seat.
Yeah, I don't want to be labeled as a
disgusting
seat urinator.
No.
You know, and
at
like
all.
And I just, it's pretty crazy how many people do this.
You could literally do it with like a seat cover. Do it real quick. You don't have to flush, just clean
it
and throw it in there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're going to, you know, things could happen.
All right.
Things could happen. We'll very guilty. I don't know. I mean, I was going to say, I don't think that anybody could say it's not guilty except for all of the people that do it all the time.
Right.
The people are so much like, that's just my thing.
I would love to hear if somebody is this type of a person, call into On the Stand and let us know why.
Yes.
Explain your rationale because like, I want to know your insight because maybe I'm overlooking somebody's experience.
Yeah.
And I want to know more.
Yeah. Yes. Let us know. All right. Who's next?
I'm going to go because I actually went to the Facebook group. Holly Richter said on the stand, listening to audiobooks counts as reading the book, not freaking guilty.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And those are some double words.
Reading an audiobook counts as reading a book.
Yeah,
basically.
It does.
Yes.
Are we all saying the same thing?
Yeah.
Yes, because there are some people, some, you know, might be snobbish type people who would say I read that book. And then you say like, well, you listened to that book. You didn't sit down and read that
Reading's
book.
Hard.
Reading's, you know what?
In
reading
a busy
is hard. I literally do not have time to sit and read a book. I wish I did, but I don't because I'm like trying to do 500 things at once. And then my free time, I'd like to have a drink on a patio somewhere. Mm. But I can listen to an audiobook when I'm driving, when I'm cleaning, the same places you listen to a podcast. It opens up the possibility to quote unquote read things that you wouldn't be able to read.
For me, reading is so hard. I've had to do it. For example, I'm trying to read Billy's new book and like I have to, and it's not.
Thank you. This is going to be a great endorsement.
No, this isn't about what I'm reading.
Alexis's review. I tried to read it.
I'm trying to read it.
No, this isn't about what I'm reading, but as someone with like severe fucking ADD, like when I'm home, literally I've been with Jack at my house and I'm like scrambling around a room, moving shit. She's like, dude, can you sit down?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And that's with a person with, and we have an intention of things to do.
Yeah.
But I like bop around and
putz around a lot.
That's right. Or I'll be like, oh, let me adjust this window. Like once we're all settled, it's just, I can't stop. So I'm saying reading for me, I have to schedule and be like, commit myself to reading and really like, really try like drink caffeine before and really like focus, whether it's a great work of art or not. Like I just, that's just for me.
Yeah.
So audiobooks though are like solace. Cause like I can focus when I'm driving.
Yeah.
Cause there's nothing else to distract.
Yeah.
Except driving.
No, you're on autopilot.
That is true.
Well,
driving,
you know,
is so weird.
Yeah,
driving's so easy,
but it's so weird that it's when you really think about driving and all of the things that you have to do to like successfully drive, and thinking about all of the people in the world that are not with it and like texting and drunk. Like, it's crazy that so many people drive.
It reveals a lot about norms and like people's adherence to norms, you know, because like everyone's trusting, there's mutual deterrence. Like, you don't want to get in a car accident. You'll get arrested. Your car will get fucked up. Like, there are all these mutual reasons why everyone wants to drive safely. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of the best example of like mutual deterrence in, I think, our society, where everyone behaves until they don't, and then they die or get arrested. Like, it's pretty clear in this world.
I'm talking more about like all the things that have to happen in your body at the same time to be able to control a car. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like split second decisions that your hand, both hands and your foot is doing, and then you're looking around, but then you're also talking to somebody. Like, it's pretty impressive that the human body is capable of successfully driving cars.
It is.
Okay. We're going back to the audiobooks now. They are real books, so not guilty to the person.
Not guilty.
You know, okay. I'm not into the idea of a person who is putting that on the stand. I know she was not.
She was not. She was, yeah, but no, there are certain people, yes.
And, you know, it's just...
And having just completed...
Get off your high horse.
People are just trying to do their best.
Having just completed, like, reading my audiobook too, which is incredibly, incredibly stressful.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a thing.
Yeah.
In and of itself, but it's definitely reading.
Give it a listen.
Yeah.
I'm reading my audiobook in a couple days.
I'm so excited.
I'm not. It's so daunting.
It's very daunting.
And then you start tripping over the dumbest words. Mm-hmm.
And then you trip over it five times, and then you feel so ridiculous looking into the booth, and I'm just like, dude, I'm so sorry. Like, you're sitting here, watch me.
I know.
Yeah.
Ugh, that's okay. Anyways.
Remember, eat green apples because they get rid of saliva.
Yeah. That sounds like...
Let's talk about this something else.
I hate saliva.
Honestly, like, he was about to go with the milk, and I knew what was coming next, and just...
I wasn't going with the milk. Everybody knows not to drink milk.
Okay. Right. We're done.
Anyways.
With this. All right. Well, when we come back, it's time for some true crime rewind.
I don't matter. Let's move
on. This is, no joke, our sloppiest episode.
Honestly, let's move on. I don't want to
do it. You have to.
Okay. Mine's stupid.
Okay.
It's about something I really like, so I'm defending it, but no one's persecuted this.
Okay.
I love me some Topo Chico.
Oh.
I mean, I am a vodka soda gal, and I used to be like, ooh, let me put some vodka in LaCroix or vodka in, you know, some Pellegrino. Weak-ass bubble water compared to Topo. Like, it gives you this effervescent experience. And I'm telling you, I'm not this kind of person. But if I was hypothetically on vacation and I hypothetically went to bed with a drink next to my bedside table and hypothetically was still on vacation in the morning and hypothetically wanted to still drink it, I could add ice to it and it would be just as effervescent.
There is something very special about the Topo Chico bubble. Jared calls it the bite because he is obsessed with Topo Chico. It's kind of like the difference between Prosecco and champagne, like a good champagne, because it has these like tiny,
sharp,
a million tiny little bubbles where like a Prosecco bubble's bigger and it tastes flatter.
Yes.
Like, there really is nothing like a Topo Chico, and so much that there's an entire cocktail dedicated to it called Ranch Water.
Yeah.
Also, this is not an ad. It should be an ad.
No, please. Again, it's going to go viral and we're going to miss out on an opportunity. But the point is that like, yeah, no, Ranch Waters apparently have been a thing for a long time because Topo's just getting big here now. In Texas, it's been big for a long time.
Right.
And Coca-Cola bought it. So who knows what's going to happen with it. But
they have those sponsorship
dollars. It's honestly that good. It's really, and it's so much so that like supply chain, it's hard to find. Mm-hmm. It's getting harder and harder to find. So
I've never had it before.
Oh my God.
Doesn't surprise me.
You know what would be really good in? These Aperol spritzes that we're drinking. Yeah. It would give it like this like extra punch.
Bite.
Okay. We'll do that next time.
Jared did have a phase where he was drinking way too many of them.
Yeah.
Like, he would drink multiple. And I feel like a Topo Chico is you drink one at a time.
Yeah.
And then maybe one the next day. But like, he was drinking
six a day.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he could not stop burping. Yeah. He was just like, what's happening to me? I'm like, maybe it's 100
Topo
Chicos.
You're going to float away with your inflated.
All right. Well, Topo Chico, not guilty. I love
not
it.
Not guilty. Billy?
Not guilty, I guess, because...
There you go. That's enough.
He's gonna try some now. Okay, now it is time for some True Crime Rewind.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Welcome back, everyone, to True Crime Rewind. We are talking about
Topo Chico.
No, but we're talking about movies that are based on real life killings. Now, let's get into Psycho first. You know, the novel, which was written by a guy named Robert Bloch in 1959, and the author credited Ed Gein is the basis for Norman Bates. Now, Gein lived less than 50 miles from his home in Wisconsin. They both carried out their killings in rural areas. They both had apparently oppressive moms that they created shrines for, and both of them wore women's clothing. But as we know, that Gein was a guy that would often, you know, make some crazy stuff with his victim's skin and things like that. So it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
Why are you looking at me like that?
I know. Are you okay?
What?
Are you okay?
I'm just looking.
Okay. Right.
What the fuck did I do wrong?
I don't know.
It was a stance like you had like something profound to say. No, so that's why we paused and we're waiting for you to say something.
No, okay. I was just taking it all in.
All right. So the one that we know, so that's Psycho right there. Another
which I feel
one,
like is kind of a little known fact.
No, I think a lot of people know.
They do?
I didn't
either.
Because I don't see the correlation at all. A stabbing in the shower... What does it have to do with like making?
Yeah, well, I think it's the mom.
It was the mom obsession, and like,
did he have a mom obsession? Ed Gein?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know much about him.
Yeah, he was like obsessed and like had massive disdain for his mom, and that's the reason why he killed all these women.
That's not the reason. He's a fucking asshole.
Well, his reason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So another one, also with a creepy house. Now we're going to go to where Alexis and I grew up on Long Island. And that's the Amityville Horror House. Now, the Amityville Horror House, I think we've talked about this before.
We did an episode on the Amityville. That's a tongue twister. Amityville Horror House recently for Killing Time, where we kind of did a deep dive into it.
But to remind you, this was a house that, this is kind of a weird one because the movie was based on this haunting that has been really proven as being fake. All the stuff that was going on, it's been debunked. There was no ectoplasm. There was no foul odors. There was no black ooze. There was no, gateway to hell.
Wasn't there in the basement like some kind of a pig?
There was a pig.
Yeah.
Yes. There was like a floating pig, a demon floating pig. Yeah.
Into that actually.
Yeah.
Yes. But what it was, or there were apparently cloven hoof prints left behind in the snow.
That could be true.
Yes.
The foul odors could also be true.
Could be a deer.
It could be like an animal that walked in and like took a shit and they couldn't find it.
It's a little beep boop.
Yeah.
Around.
But there was no snow on the ground, by the way, when the Lutzes, who is the family that had moved into this house, and the reason why they were saying that it was haunted is because a few years prior to that, a family had been murdered. Six of family members were murdered in that house, and it turned out it was Ronald DeFeo Jr. who killed all of them. And they think it was because he was, you know, why kill the dad and also the kids? They kind of went, you know what? It's this guy because he wants the life insurance. So
was that other family, they found out they were just making it up?
Yeah, they were just making it up.
Opportunistic.
Like for money?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the book sold a ton. You know, books sold, you know, I mean, that was like...
So they sold their life story to this...
Sort of, yeah.
...author?
To, yeah.
To cash in?
I think the guy's name is Jay Anson, if I remember correctly. And, but in the late...
Could have been me. I mean, like, I want a haunted house, sell those rights. I mean...
Anybody can do anything these days.
Yeah, but
honestly, no shame in it. If you live in a scary ass house, I'm sorry, and maybe you're taunted by the psychological sort of, like, aspects of it.
Well... That's the thing. How could they prove that they didn't see that?
They can't.
Like, how could they prove that's false?
If it exists in your mind, then it's true. And I think, you know, it's like if it exists in your mind, then it's real and you can sell it as a book. Like, what's the problem?
It's not a lie if you believe it.
That's right.
George Costanza.
It's not a lie if you believe it.
Yeah, so,
it's your reality.
I mean, this was... I mean,
what is reality anyways?
That's right.
I mean, there was a big, a time period of, you know, the late 60s, early 70s, where you had all of these horror novels that just overtook the country. You had Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah.
You had The Exorcist. Then you had Amityville Horror and Salem's Lot. And then, you know, then we saw Poltergeist and that kind of thing, which is still, by the way, Poltergeist was PG in the theater.
Which is crazy because it's pretty terrifying.
Can I tell you what an admission that's kind of embarrassing?
What?
So Poltergeist, like, I didn't know what that was. I saw a parody of it as a child on a cartoon, and it was Poltergeist, and it was a raw chicken floating around. Mm-hmm. And it must have been, I don't know what cartoon it was, but it was a raw chicken like haunting people. And that's, I shit you not, what I thought it was.
For how long?
Until pretty recently. Like, because I'm not into paranormal stuff. So yeah. It's not like I would have watched it to be like, here's what Poltergeist is. I thought it was Poltergeist, and I thought it was a raw chicken like haunting everyone.
I'm sure that's happened before.
You know? All right, you're so sweet for trying to make me feel better. Yeah. But the thing is that, like, how would you know unless you saw Poltergeist?
Well, that's the weird thing is that
Poltergeist actually makes a lot more sense considering how much chicken we all eat.
Yeah, there's a lot of angry chicken
out there. No, when they decide to rise up, it's
over. Especially all the poor factory farmed chickens now.
But you have to acknowledge this, like, I'll be with Jack sometimes and I'll see a dog. We saw a dog recently on our birthday trip. Her name's Beth. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Jack, that dog looks like a raw chicken.
She does.
Like, it's something.
She personally does look like a raw chicken.
But it comes up a lot for me where mm-hmm. I'm like, that looks like the fucking Ooh. Poltergeist.
It's deep in your brain.
Ingrained.
It is. All right. So the last one we're going to talk about is Scream. Mm-hmm. And as you know, and this is another one, but Alexis, you were talking about this as well. Danny Rowling. You know, we had a first degree episode about this. Mm-hmm. When was that? It was back in...
Probably a couple months ago.
So Danny Rowling, in August of 1990, as everybody was moving into school in Gainesville, Florida, he murders 5 students. And the screenwriter of Scream, Kevin Williamson, he was watching TV and saw a special about the Gainesville murders when he was living in Los Angeles, and it freaked him out so bad. And he had this idea of, like, what if there was a knife wielding stalker inside the house that he was a guest in? And he decided it really did inspire the opening scene. And then it went on from there.
I know, but I think everyone's always surprised to hear this because, like, it doesn't really align with what happened all that much.
No.
'Cause it was in Woodsboro, which is a made up town. It wasn't in Florida. It was like,
there was no mask.
And there was a connection between the people involved in Scream. Mm-hmm. You know, this was like totally at random.
Yeah.
So I think I understand the inspiration for this like insular town vibe, but I see why people are surprised.
It's a reach.
Yeah.
It's a very loose thing that inspired it.
Yes. Yeah. But you know what? Inspiration is inspiration. So.
Inspiration's inspiration, baby.
So there you go. So that is it.
That is it.
Buffering.
And we're gonna hear about the worst things that you've done, and hopefully they're not as bad as the ones that we just talked about.
They're not.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Hey, Worsty Firsties, we're excited for another installment of yours and our favorite segment. Sorry, guys. You know this is the one everyone's waiting for.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? You're all good people. You're listening to a true crime podcast because you love true crime. And you know that what's good is good and what's bad is bad. Mm-hmm. But we're here to be your sort of confessionals. And we are just going to jump right into our first one.
Let's do it.
Hi, I am calling for the worst thing that I've ever done. I went to a pretty small school, for college, and we had a Greek life, and I was in a sorority there, and I lived in our sorority house, And there was one year where I was kind of in charge of making sure, like, the house was always picked up and things were done. And I lived with anywhere between, like, 7 to 12 people, just depending on the time. And there was one girl in particular who just never cleaned up after herself. And I was always on her about, like, cleaning up and taking her stuff back up to her room. And there was one weekend in particular where we had, like, an event going on at her house or something, and she just would not pick up, like, her stuff in the living room. And she had, like, clothes everywhere, just, like, down in our common spaces. So I finally just took her clothes, and some of them I gave back over time. But, like, to this day, I have one of her cardigans hanging in my closet. And as you say, this is, like, not an awful thing, but I think about it often. I wear this cardigan places because it's a nice cardigan. It's cute and comfy, but, like, kind of savage for me, I guess, to just take her stuff. But also, like, we were adults, and I was like, just clean up your stuff, and this will never happen. And I guess it was just my way of kind of getting back at having to nag her all the time. Anyway, thanks so much. Love you guys.
I actually love your take on this, because I've actually been the victim of a take on this that is not actually validated in the way yours is. Let's talk about you first.
Yeah.
So first of all, if you warn someone over and over again, like, hey, don't leave your shit in a communal space or it will become communal property. That's sort of like, that's sort of the unwritten law of having communal spaces.
You did warn, yes.
Have respect for communal spaces, because that's communal shit. You can't leave your personal things in a communal space and expect it to be respected as personal stuff.
Right.
So I think your logic here is completely founded. You did nothing wrong. And in fact, that is your cardigan, because a communal property is shared property, and she had it for a while and now you have it.
Yeah.
I don't think you should feel bad. I think the logic is there. That being said... I have a friend from, I don't know if she listens to this podcast. She's my friend from high school. Her name's Lisa. Hi, Lisa, if you do.
Oh, God.
She would laugh at this, but I didn't think it was funny at the time. One time I had her over with a group of friends, and everyone left. Then I saw her, like, at school or something, and she was wearing, like, my necklace. I was like, Lisa, that's my necklace. And she was like, finders keepers.
Oh, my God.
But she found it at my home.
Wait, that's not how my best friend
Rita
works.
Is probably listening to this. My best friend from home, Rita, you're probably laughing, because Lisa was like kind of like our like, you know, loophole Lisa. She would find little loopholes, and you
but
can't.
But
you
that's not a loophole.
It was funny when she did it. Honestly, it was funny. I can't explain it. I remember getting weirded out,
yeah,
and feeling gaslit and tricked,
yeah,
but for some reason she was so funny about it, and she'd give it back, and it wasn't a big deal, that it was like, but that's not cool.
I love that. Finders keepers, but in when I came into your property and decided that what I found that is your personal property is mine.
But I'm sorry, yeah. She had the charisma where I just was like, okay, fair enough.
I love
and
it.
She gave it back. But she was so, again, it's proof that, like, confidence in any scenario, she didn't get defensive.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, finders keepers. And I had my turn and you can have it back. And I was like, what?
The gumption, you
and
know?
And then we're all just laughing. And I was like, because she wasn't defensive and it was didn't feel like a theft.
She, like, gaslit you a little bit.
Yeah, but, like, I felt better being gaslit.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't have to be like, my friend stole from me. It turned into a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, again, when we all talk about people with charisma who get away, like, that's that.
Yeah.
Because I was tricked into thinking, like, of course, finders keepers. Like, she found it.
That's
and then
what
she
I'm
gave
saying.
It
she
back.
She gaslit you.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And you know what? Lisa owns, like, 3 homes on Long Island, and I own none. And I'm like, maybe she's onto something.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she finders kept those houses.
Those
little squatting action.
Lisa, exactly. They're hers Lisa, now. I admire you. Like, that is some gumption and conviction and, like, confidence in any scenario. I wish I had. All to bring it back to full circle. You were actually truly entitled to take those items. If you had warned this person and it was your job to oversee the functionality of this sorority house, like, of course, that is your sweater, my friend. If you don't take it, Taylor Swift will take it. She loves a cardigan.
Amen.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
Billy, anything to add?
I have nothing to add for that.
Sorry,
Alexis was on a roll.
On to the next.
On to the next.
Hi, guys. So I've been listening, thinking about my worst thing, trying to
recall, like, what would it be, what would it be? And I guess I repressed this because today while I was listening, it just came rushing back, and I was like, holy shit, that was terrible. So this is back at, like, end of college, so I don't know, 8 years ago. And I had just rented a rather large farmhouse with a good girlfriend of mine and her sister. And with the three of us, we were already kind of like, ugh, rent's going to be a little bit tight, but okay, at least there's three of us, it'll be fine, no big deal. So literally the night before we're going to move in, the sister bails. And I'm like, okay, we've already, like, we're already committed, all my shifts and boxes, like, I gotta do this, we gotta do this. But now we're like, oh my god, we have to scramble and find other roommates because we can't really afford this, but, like, we're gonna do it, oh my god. So I was over the house with completely by myself, and my best friend came over so that I could show her the house. And I'm walking her through the house, and I'm like, we're upstairs, and I'm showing her everything, and she's like, what happened with your sister, like, what happened? I'm like, I don't know, like, I can't believe it, like, I can't believe she would leave us stranded like this. Like, what a fucking bitch. Like, she's just the worst. Like, I can't believe it. I'm pretty sure I called her the C word, which, like, oh, I'm not proud of. Anyway, as I'm saying all these terrible things about her because I'm super pissed, I round the corner, and there she is. So, apparently, she had stopped by to bring a box to her sister or something, whatever, and she heard everything. She heard me completely dragging her, and I was horrified. And I was just like, oh, hi, oh, like, I was joking around, but, like, there was no way out. Like, I was not joking around. I just called you all of those terrible things. And I felt awful. And, like, meanwhile, I moved in. Like, I lived with her sister for over a year. Like, I saw this woman frequently. She lived, like, two doors down. So, like, she was over a lot, and I just always had to try to look her in the eye after calling her the worst words ever. So, not my finest hour. Very embarrassing. So, if you're going to talk shit, make sure they're not in the house with you. All right. Love you guys.
You know what? Me and Jack and all of our friends, we had a phase for a while where we were watching The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think there's a therapeutic aspect of this where we're getting out some,
the talking,
like,
shit. But yeah, talk shit on people you don't know.
That's right. In the comfort of your safety. But, like, we're getting this weird phase in the world where, like, there's no safety from being criticized or judged for what you say.
Yeah.
And, like, my advice is, it's like, find an outlet and don't put yourself at risk. But in this particular situation, look, the woman who you were talking about did do a shitty thing, yeah, right? And maybe I'm like you, maybe you're a people pleaser, and it's like, it would have been uncomfortable to say to her face. That being said, maybe it was true. And maybe we also have to just, like, not be worried about what people think when we tell them the truth. Yeah. And that's a weakness I have, where I'm like, I think truths all day, but then I'm like, oh, I don't want to deal with the consequences of telling them the truth.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes you have to. And maybe, like, the people who get far in life are the people who tell the truth and don't give a fuck.
Amen.
Right. Can't be afraid of the truth is all.
Yeah.
So it's like, just tell it. And, you know, maybe what you should have done when she turned the corner has been like, I meant it. Mm-hmm. This, you're fucking us all over.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then she'd be like, well, what am I going to say? That's,
yeah,
true.
Yeah. Just get ready to have some conviction and behind.
But I get it. It's scary. It's like, do I want to deal with the anxiety of, like, the social implications of telling people the truth? It's like, no, of course not. But that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
You didn't do anything wrong. This is not a worsty firsty. You're the bestie.
Firsty. All right. Alexis, I know that you don't have a Costanza prepared, so I'm going to let you just wing a freestyle poem.
Will you try to, like, give me a word to rhyme to?
Okay. So the subject of today was psycho, but I feel like, mm-hmm, psycho is a hard word to rhyme.
Trust me, I went in the word dictionary. It was not easy. So if we could find out, like, let's George see. Costanza hates to take a shower. When he's in there naked and vulnerable, he feels he has no power.
Oh.
Norman Bates could come around the corner at any moment and kill him. Oh, Billy, would you like to step in?
With the what?
With a knife-shaped flower.
Oh, that was poetic.
That doesn't rhyme.
Yes, it did. Shower.
Well, no, that will kill him. And then it had to rhyme with him.
You were doing a rhyme.
And then his life would be pretty dim.
Okay.
Holy shit.
Did we end it there?
Norman Bates and George Costanza are the same person. That's it, guys.
All right, we're done.
We tried.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.